Food is the language everyone speaks, but do we truly understand it?
Between the conversations over organic food and GMOs, different diets taking the world by storm, and how what we eat actually impacts our environment,
there's no shortage of things to learn about. Hi, I'm Karel Vega.
And I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum, and this is Serving Up Science.
Good riddance to the blandest of all apples, Red Delicious.
Excuse me?
I'm pretty excited for apple season.
I can tell.
Let's just stop that right there. I like them, but not as much as Raffi does.
It sounds like you're not a big fan of the long-reigning apple champion, Red Delicious. And that's been our country's most grown variety for over half a century.
No, I'm definitely not. Red Delicious, there's so many great apples. You got Honeycrisp, Gala, Fuji. By comparison, the Red Delicious is just so boring. I would even go as far as calling it flavorless.
Well, it's definitely not as crispy, but it wasn't always the case, Karel. We made it that way. The bright red variety we've come to expect as Red Delicious, distinctive with an elongated shape and that five-point base, it's changed over the years.
But let's start this story off with its birth. In the 1700s, apples themselves were a staple in colonial America. Not just to eat, either. Colonists used apples for a variety of things, including cider, as an alternative to water, which might not taste or even be so good back then.
And our now famous...
You mean infamous...
Red Delicious variety came onto the scene in the late 1800s. The story goes that a farmer named Jesse Hyatt let a certain apple tree grow on his property after many unsuccessful attempts to kill it.
Well, maybe he should have tried a little harder.
Well, Jesse entered the fruit he had named Hawkeye into an apple competition during the 1890s, and he won.
He then sold the rights to the Stark brothers, who had hosted the competition.
And they renamed this new apple Delicious, but eventually Red Delicious, since they also sold Golden Delicious apples as well.
But it probably didn't taste like the Red Delicious apples we've become accustomed to in the 21st century.
You mean the ones that you despise?
The very same. As the number of local farms declined and more shoppers turned to markets for produce during the 20th century, customers preferred the look of a particular type of apple.
Americans wanted deep, dark, red apples because they associated the color with ripeness.
Both apple growers and supermarkets were happy to appease them, and Red Delicious apples were bred to meet expectations, which came at the expense of taste and texture.
Elsewhere, farmers and scientists continued producing sweeter and crisper varieties, like the Honeycrisp developed at the University of Minnesota in the early 1990s.
That is my favorite, and there are more coming. All over the U.S. and the world, apple breeders are combining the best traits out there to create new and exciting variations. In fact, a group of breeders out of Ohio called the Midwest Apple Improvement Association have developed an apple they're calling Evercrisp, which they say combines the best traits of Honeycrisp and Fuji apples. And not to be outdone, the same folks out of the University of Minnesota have bred the Rave apple, which shares traits similar to the Honeycrisp but reaches its peak ripeness about a month earlier.
So it's not surprising that the demand for new Red Delicious trees has gone down with so many tasty options out there.
But for listeners who still love a good Red Delicious, don't be too concerned. The traditional favorite is still projected to be the second most popular apple by production in the U.S. this season after the Gala.
And the Granny Smith will be third, followed by Fuji, and then our favorite, the Honeycrisp, which is predicted to continue its rise.
With some experts speculating it might be our third most popular apple as early as 2020.
And I know you'll be looking forward to that.
I'm just going to enjoy apple season and the fall, and I hope our listeners do as well.
You've been listening to Serving Up Science, the series all about food, where it comes from, and how it impacts our health and our planet.
This program is produced at Michigan State University in association with Food at MSU. I'm Karel Vega.
And I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum, and this is WKAR.